I love doing this because I teach it to myself too. It's like, oh, that's right. And I forget, you know, and I think I'm getting old. I don't know what it is. We say in Mexico, you have a Teflon mind. What? Because everything slides off, you know, it sort of doesn't stick. Okay. And so we looked at some refined sweeteners. We talked about that briefly. Grains. Sugars and stuff. Who likes sweet things? Like everyone does, don't they? Okay, so we need to realize that sugar is one of the probably the most. This is the big in terms of health. Okay, the refined sugars today are affecting our health more than anything else. Now I always tell people, hey, who made the sweet tooth? God did. But what man has done, he's concentrated sweetness and made it in a very unnatural source that you don't see anywhere in nature. So that when you taste that white sugar, it's like, wow, is that sweet? Because your body's not used to it, because you don't see it in nature. So you get used to it. And the whole area of sugar is probably one of the biggest health issues today. Overdoses of sugar affect our health in every aspect. And this is something that we can spend a whole time on as well. And there's different topics we can go in depth on. But notice some of these different topics here. Well, fructose, well, that's a sugar from fruit, right? Glucose, okay, high fructose corn syrup, that's more in the United States, I believe. I don't know, it's not here in Europe, I don't think, is it? High fructose corn syrup, because it comes from corn. Agave nectar and yacon syrup, okay, that was the latest health craze, is agave syrup, okay? Fruit juices, come on, Craig, fruit juices are bad. Fruit juices are bombs. Okay, but why would you say that? Okay, so she, okay. Yeah, well, fruit juice, what are we talking about? We're talking about a concentration of sugar, okay? God designed the sweet tooth. We see in the Proverbs, we see honey. The Bible says honey is good for you. You bite into a sweet apple, wow, that's tasty. And that's like in southern Spain, we get these watermelons, and these, they call it, they got frog skin melon. It's a green melon. Oh, they're so sweet and it's excellent. So that's God-given. But when we start isolating sugars and concentrating them, this is where we get ourselves into trouble. And this is what's happened with our sugar issues today. Fruit juices today, you buy them in little cartons. Well, they're like 50 oranges squeezed into one little box. And so you have this glass of fruit juice. You get this sugar equivalent to, you know, 10 oranges at one time. And who eats 10 oranges at one time? And so we have this massive rush of sugar in our body, and we have this flux of things. Okay. And so sugar is sucrose, and it's broken down into a disaccharide. It's broken into glucose and fructose during digestion. Okay, and so fructose, within its natural form, is fine. It's when we start isolating fructose, we're seeing big issues with that health-wise. It's actually causing lots of problems. It's the isolated fructose that's causing the problem. And so fructose in health here, it's affecting, it's a sugar, it's metabolized in the liver. Okay, most sugars go into a glucose form. Our body's able to burn it off as energy. But fructose actually goes into the liver and causes lots of issues. And a lot of the diseases that we see from alcoholics, we see with those who are drinking lots of sugar, especially refined sugar, because of the fructose. Okay, and so basically, not to bore you with all those statistics, we are increased our refined sugar consumption. Remember, the typical American consumes how much sugar per year? At the turn of the century, I think the average was about 5 kilos or so, or 4 kilos a year. And now we're up to almost 200 pounds, which is, help me, about 90 kilos of sugar a year. Okay, that's not normal. It's not normal, okay? And so it's become the biggest drug addict thing. In fact, medical doctors now have a term for that called carboholic. Those who are addicted to carbohydrates, specifically sugar carbohydrates. Now, God gave carbohydrates for energy, and so basically a brief idea of how it works. You eat a sugar, your body digests it quickly, and it gives you energy as a form of glucose into your bloodstream. Okay, so you're like, yes, I got energy. Now, certain things go into your system really fast. And so refined sugar doesn't have any fiber, there's no minerals, you don't eat it with a fat, It goes into your body. Your body digests it very quickly. It goes into your sugar really fast, and all of a sudden you have this sugar spike. Okay, kids are jumping off the wall. Sugar spikes. Okay, and your body sends that alarm. It says, "Whoa, hold on here. Too much sugar in the bloodstream. It's going to affect the brain." So the pancreas then injects insulin into the bloodstream. It goes and grabs the sugar and stores it in the fat, or in the liver, or as fat. This is why for years I thought, well, how can sugar, there's no fat in sugar, how can sugar make you fat? Because what it does, it comes in such quantities, their body says, I've got to get this sugar out of my bloodstream. What do I do with it? I got to store it. Well, that liver is full. Come on, liver, open up. I'm full. Okay, it stores it as fat then. Okay, so this is why we have obesity issues when this whole idea of refined sugars have come in. So we need to realize that sugar is everywhere. On your handout, some of the internet's recommended websites, I recommended a thing called Sugar, the Bitter Truth. And you can go on to that little YouTube video by a medical doctor of University of California, San Francisco. He's not a Christian. Okay, biblical glasses on, everybody. But he'll explain how does sugar digest in your system and what it does and the dangers of it. Okay, and we need to realize that sugar throws off the balance of the entire body. And it causes you to leach out minerals. It causes this to happen over here. And so it wreaks havoc on the body. And so we need to really address the issue of our sugar intake. Okay, I don't have time here, but if you go to YouTube, type in how much sugar in a can of Coke, or sugar in a Coke, and you have this beautiful music of Christmas music playing, and this sugar is being dumped onto this can of Coke. And you think, you've got to be kidding. That much refined sugar in one can of Coke? And then we're chugging this all day long and thinking, hallelujah, isn't God good? Okay? So we really need to address the whole idea of sweeteners and our carbohydrates. In fact, we're seeing Coke now everywhere. In African nations where the natural different little homemade drinks. Last night we make a kombucha tea, which is a natural drink used around the world. Kvasses, sorghum beer is a very natural beverage used in Africa. But now everything's been replacing with Cokes and soft drinks. And it's everywhere. Even traditional cultures have gone to drinking soft drinks. Okay? And so lots and lots of diseases associated with refined sweeteners. There's too much to go into. But let's just say we need to honor God in how we eat our sweeteners. And so we recommend these type of sweeteners. You know, honey, local honey. Okay? Fruit. You got maple sugar, dehydrated maple juice. Sugar, maple syrup, organic honey, is a different type of things here, okay? Now, one thing all these sweeteners have in that the refined sweeteners don't have is nutrition. They have nutrients. This is why there's color in them. Molasses. You know what molasses is? That's sugar cane juice. It's dark, 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 dark. And you take a spoonful of that, it's like, okay, I've had enough. It's so dense of nutrition. But what we do is we take all the nutrients out, make it nice and white, and so wingo. In fact, God put in honey the ability for a body to say stop. That's why Proverbs says, don't eat too much honey, because why? You get sick, you'll vomit it out. What? God designed that. So guys, it's enough. White sugar, your body has no concept. You can eat white sugar until you're blue in the face, and your body will say, I don't think I should stop. I don't think I should stop. It gets very addicting. So try to go those type of things, and if you have sugar cravings, try to include maybe more fat in your diet. Maybe you're not preparing your grains right. Tofu or maybe too many animal foods. And so if you're craving sugar all the time, I recommend fasting. Fasting is a great way of breaking cravings, okay? I know it's not always fun. You know, I used to always get hungry when I still get hungry when I'm fasting. But I want to be able to say no. In fact, I remember why I'm in Spain, down North Africa based down in southern Spain, this New Zealand couple came in. We're talking about food, and she says, oh yeah. She goes, I was addicted to sugar, and God set me free from sugar. And what I do every so often, I go into a sugar store, a candy store, and I walk around and go, no, 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 no. And I walk out. So that's why I'm able to know, am I tempted? You know, when I'm starting to get tempted, I say, okay, Craig, you got to start doing something. She says, if I'm starting to feel like, uh-oh. And this is a huge issue. If we can start dealing with this, especially among the women, because when women are addicted to sugar, they teach their kids to be addicted to sugar, and it's passed down. And so a lot of times we blame things on genetics, when in reality it's a lifestyle being passed down to the next generation. Well, my mom was addicted. Yeah, she always went to sugar when she was depressed, and she taught me to do the same thing. And okay, then it's a downward spiral. Okay, so sugar, enjoy sugar from God's standpoint. Don't crucify those who do drink a Coke. Okay, so one of the things we need to realize that you love Jesus and you're drinking a Coke. I can't believe it. Okay, we need to come with gentleness and just present slowly information, conviction from a God standpoint, and so not beat him over the head. Okay, but I have had different people, leaders in YWAM, one leader, say, Craig, you have to address the overweight issue. He said, we're seeing a lot of obesity among our women in YWAM. He said, do something. I said, well, hang on, that's a touch. I want to live, okay? You can't talk about these things. And you say, it's like, no, but you have a platform, go for it. I said, well, and so we do want to work on a topic of just on losing weight. But it has to. We have to deal with addictions. And we like to, it's a spirit, soul, and body issue. The body is a slave to the soul or the spirit. And when our soul is submitted to the spirit, our body will submit to the spirit. And the problem with overweight issues and addictions is that soul is out of line. And so we have to go back from the food stuff and go back to the soulish issues and say, hey, soul, get in line. You know, the suke, it needs to come under submit of the life of God. Okay. Last few more points here. Some of the things we did last night, those who were there at that meeting, we saw these fermented foods, and we thought, why fermented foods? Okay. Every traditional culture had some type or produced some type of lacto-fermented foods. And this is where we're getting to the whole microbiological world. Okay, this is a whole different world. Now, today we have refrigerators and freezers to preserve our food, but back for many years, cultures didn't have refrigerators. So how do they preserve their food? You know, if you're growing cabbage and all of a sudden you harvested 50 tons of cabbage, you know, what do? You have cabbage for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and snacks for 2 months straight. You know, what do you do with all that cabbage? Well, you would preserve it in a lacto-fermented form. So that way you have cabbage throughout the year. So this is true in every culture. They were wise. So we harvest in the fall, we preserve it, so we have it year-round. Okay, and these can be in the forms of like here we have cheeses. A cheese is a very common lacto-fermented form of preserving milk. I mean, that poor cow gets milk every day. It's like, stop. I can't stop, okay? And so you have all this extra milk. What do you do with it? You make cheese out of it, okay? It's an excellent nutrient-dense food. Yogurts, pickles, and sauerkraut. Here's gravlax. Now, that's Swedish, I think. I think it's fermented salmon, but I think the Scandinavian countries eat it. Where are Scandinavian? I scared them off? You scared them off, okay. I terrified them, okay. Okay, and so what that does is, again, in the book Nourishing Traditions, which we recommend, there's whole recipes how to make these things. I make sauerkraut. I eat that. We've actually gave it to some of the people in we owned a gymnasium as a YWAM center for a while, and people with severe acne who have been taking antibiotics and all kinds of chemicals. I said, hey, can I mind? I fear God. I believe your body's not functioning right. What if I give you some homemade sauerkraut? And these people who've been on years with antibiotics were getting cleared up with acne. And I remember one guy walked in, a Spaniard, says, who are you? Are you some doctor or something? I said, no. I said, I fear God. And the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. I realized God's designed your body. It's not functioning right. And so you need to give what it needs. And so all these enzymes are good. And so here we have sauerkraut cortito, which is a South American fermented sauerkraut. Kimchi. Kimchi's not on there, but kimchi. We make kimchi. My son and I love kimchi. It's a spicy sauerkraut. Chutneys. Okay, all these, you might have heard the word chutney used. Okay, a lot of jams can be actually, and jellies can be actually fermented as well, preserved, so it's natural. And so when we ferment things, what do? We make lots of little bugs happen inside. And so you've heard the word antibiotic. Antibiotic, heard of that word? What does that mean? Anti means what? Against. Okay, what's biotic? It's from Latin or Greek or something. Bio? Life. Anti-life. Antibiotic means anti-life. And so antibiotics kill life. Now, in a lot of cases, for extreme cases, you bet, they save your life. But why would I want to kill life? Jesus is the life. What? So antibiotics kill anything. So they don't specialize in what type of bacteria I can kill. They go and kill everything. So these lacto-fermented condiments are probiotics. Now, what does pro stand for? Four, okay, pro-life, and so I'm a pro-life, guy, you know, I'm in probiotics, and so I want to give my body what it needs to digest its food, okay, and so benefits here, this is amazing of creation, it increases vitamin and enzyme content. Now, I don't know how it does this, But the vitamin C content of sauerkraut goes up like 300% through the fermentation process. I don't know if it's a little buggy, I don't know what happens, but it enhances the nutritional qualities of your food. It adds lactic acid and beneficial bacteria. It's a very good healthy form. They're starting to use the, you see on yogurts, you see the word L-something, all these funny Greek words for yogurts. Okay, that's the lactobacteria. It comes from a milk source. It neutralizes anti-nutrients. We talked about those anti-nutrients and all these different things. It neutralizes those and improves digestibility. It pre-digests our food. And it breaks down difficult-to-digest proteins and carbohydrates. This is why a lot of these fermented foods were eaten with meats. Why? Because it helped your body digest the meat. You know, sauerkraut and bratwurst, you know. Now, I'm not a big pork eater. In fact, they've done studies with pork and tested the blood of those who ate pork, like pork chop. If you ate the pork chop and they tested the blood, they saw the blood actually getting thickened. They're having all kinds of issues with the blood. Actually weakened the blood. In fact, a lot of people who are on cancer, they say get off pork products because it's one of the most hardest proteins to digest for the human body. We would say, well, of course, God said don't eat it. Okay, but now they did the same test with people eating the pork chop with sauerkraut, and guess what? The blood was not, it was not affected as much because that sauerkraut did something to help the body digest things. And so all these lacto-fermented foods help our body. And so it promotes small scale rather than monopolistic farming and food processing. And so enzymes, you've heard the word enzymes. These are things that help our body digest. And so foods are full of live things. They don't even know what really how these all work. But they're full of live things that helps us digest our food. Many cultures, you know, you have wine and unpasteurized beer, or after a meal you'd have what? Some type of a fermented drink. And you think, why is this? Because it helped to improve the digestion. Liqueurs or a lot of these homemade things. Why? Because your body, we need this for digestion. And it's like, oh, I didn't know that. Okay, so tropical fruits especially, you've heard of people who have digestive issues, they'll give them papaya enzymes, because papaya has very high in enzymes. Bananas. See, not all fruit have higher enzymes. It's mostly the tropical fruits. Okay, so just because I'm eating orange doesn't mean I get a lot of enzymes. So tropical fruits are high in enzymes. Some cultures never ate their meat without eating a banana, because bananas are high in enzymes. Okay, and so usually when I get up in the morning, for example, I have a big glass of water, I have a banana, and my bee pollen. That's my start of the day. Then an hour later, I have got my eggs and my cheese and my chorizo and my sausage and my waffles, and yes, that's when I eat my big meal. Okay, but lacto-fermented. So all these things are very thing. Yes, I do. We make kefir. Yes, we make it ourselves with little kefir grains. They reproduce. Yeah. I use the kombucha as well, kombucha mushroom. I've been drinking kombucha for 18 years now. 17 years, I'm sorry, 17 years. So for me, it's like, it's part of me, you know? Yeah. Yes, usually pass around because they grow so well. You start passing to some and give them free. In fact, last night we had kefir. Cinder's got kefir grains. We've tried other type of cultures from Finnish yogurt. What's it called? Vili. Different type. There's different. Yeah, there's all these probiotic fermented things that we go, ooh, gross, but they're healthy for us. We need to get them back into our diets. And so this is why. The germ theory, popularized by Louis Pasteur. I mean, he actually did the testing on the germs causing disease, but that's a whole story about that. That pasteurization was named after him because if you kill disease, he says, our bodies are a sterile environment, and if a germ comes in, attacks it, a sterile environment gets a disease, we need to kill the germs. It's called the germ theory. And most medical fields, most groups today say, well, they're based on those things. This is why we need to have medicines, we need to have vaccines, we need to take drugs and antibiotics. It's the germ that's causing the disease. I don't think that way, and a lot of other scientists, the French Bonchamp, I don't know what his name is, at the same time as Louis Pasteur, right? He said, no, it's the environment that causes disease. When the environment is weakened, like the body is weakened, disease comes in. And so the old paradigm of this is a healthy human body is sterile, microbes attack it, make it sick, and the new paradigm, which is not the germ theory, is healthy or human body lives in symbiotic relationship with microorganisms. That's where we get the 3 kilos of healthy bacteria in our digestive tract. And they're actually almost calling our inner and digestive tract another organ, because it's this living, moving thing. And this is what we need to feed it. I read a saying that says, where every 11 days, your body gets a new stomach lining. Is that true? Okay, you heard that too, okay. Every 11 days, your body gets a new stomach lining. So again, this whole idea of ulcers and healing our bodies, our body can heal itself if given what it needs. And so we need bacteria. We need good bugs, okay? So this is why when I got the book Bacteria for Breakfast, now we understand why I got it. I want to learn how does bacteria help me stay healthy, and how can I eat bacteria? And so eat yogurts and raw things have a lot of bacteria in it. Make your sauerkrauts and your kombuchas and other type of things, okay? Okay, probiotics. Yes, I've heard pros and cons. I've heard, okay. They say that the key is that getting past the stomach acid into the intestinal tract. That's the key, right? They say, well, some of these things don't quite make it all the way down to the intestinal tract. And for some reason, raw milk bacteria does. It's one of those God things. I don't know, but that's, hey, be on the safe side. If we can get natural, make our own things, probiotics, for example. BSL3. Okay. Good. Okay, so here again, we're adding bugs to our body to help our body do what it needs to do. So we're helping our body along. Okay? And so we use whey. Okay, making these things at home. You don't have to use whey, but in case you want to use whey, what is whey? Whey is a leftover process of cheese. When you separate the solids from milk, you have this liquid. It's usually this color like this, yellow color. And it's full of enzymes. In Europe here, I guess they used for many years, they had these whey houses, they call them whey houses. And when you go and have these drinks with whey in it to help heal your body. And so that's sort of been. Can you, I don't think you can buy this, can you? What's that? Okay. I mean, there's different ways you can get, if you get some raw milk, let the raw milk sit out, let it separate, and then you can strain out the kefir, or the liquid on the bottom that's clear is the whey. You can also just go and buy some natural yogurt someplace that's live cultures, and then just strain it through a cloth, and you'll get your whey is there as well. Okay, and so you can just do that type of idea. And so then you have that whey on hand for things. Now, I use it just because it makes the fermented lot more. It seems to work better. Okay. Now, yeah, but for sauerkraut with kimchi, in fact, here I'll make some sauerkraut. So I make my sauerkraut. I cup up my medium-sized cabbage. I add some salt. I add some whey and some caraway seeds, and then I pound it. Okay. And what the pounding does, it releases the juices that are in the actual cabbage. Now, in fact, you probably didn't know this. Maybe you do. But remember, have you seen grapes grow on a grapevine? And you've seen that film. You buy a grape, you can wipe it off. Okay, that's the lactobacteria. That's natural bacteria that makes it turns into wine. All these cabbages that we see, they're covered in this white thing. So we're doing it. We're chopping up this cabbage and allowing the bacteria to do. It's already on the plant. We're allowing them to take over and preserve this. So this is why we add salt. Salt keeps other bacteria away until these other bacteria can take over and grow. And so all we're doing is we're using natural what God's given us to grow something and preserve something. So once it's all pounded, we pound it into a big jar and let it sit for 3 or 4 days. And you see the changing happens, that the jar balloons with pressure. Then I put it into the refrigerator, and in within a week or so, I can have my fresh sauerkraut. So I have that. The recipe I use is 3 days in outside temperature. Now, historically, like the Ukrainian brother was here, they said we put them in sauerkraut in big tubs. And a little bit of salt, and you let it sit for a few months, whatever, that's it. Okay, so this is more of a family way of making sauerkraut for you, personally, for one jar. Those who don't have a big tub or can't make large quantities. And so, yeah, 3 or 4 days. 3 or 4 days, you'll see the bright green cabbage go to a pale yellow. And if you push on the top of the jar, at first it goes ding, 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 ding. But after it's fermented, it's like it's pressure. And so then you put it in a cold environment, put it in the refrigerator, and then you open it up. Sometimes it fizzes, sometimes it doesn't. So I've opened up, it bubbles on me, but other times it won't. So then I add it as a condiment. So you can use that pickles. Pickles was a natural fermented thing we use around the world. Very easy to make. Here's raspberry syrup. You can make that as well. These are all recipes in that book that we recommend on one of our pages in the handout we gave you. Chutneys. Okay, all these things used all throughout history. Ketchup was actually a naturally fermented thing. It comes from the Chinese, right? Ketsoup. You're Chinese, right? Let me see if I have it right here. It said the word ketchup comes from the Chinese word meaning fermented fish sauce. Am I close at all? Ketsup? Is there anything? I don't speak Chinese, so. Is it ketsup in Indonesia? Okay. Well, the idea they made it with a fermented fish sauce, tomato sauce. And so America is somehow how we perfected the tomato, whatever. So we use this in everything. It's usually made with sugar and things that are not good for us. Okay. So if you want to make your own ketchup, you can do that. Tomato paste, fish sauce, and some seasoning, some salt and whey. In fact, mayonnaise and mustard, again, were traditionally fermented forms of naturally fermented. So they're actually health-giving, not like our stuff today. And speaking of fermented things, beverages were used throughout cultures around the world as naturally giving health sources. And so kombucha, we found out, was used for thousands of years. And so beverages are they're health-giving. They give me, they feed my system. They provide all kinds of benefit for bacteria. They're great tasting, and they're very inexpensive. And compare that to our soft drinks we eat today or drink today. No comparison. And so this is why it's fun to revive these traditional drinks. It's like, cool. You know, kvasses, and I've made ginger ale, water kefir grains. You can make water kefir sodas here. I've made ginger ale. You can make it with ground up ginger, let it ferment, and you bottle it. Here's kefir sodas with water kefir grains, a different type of thing you can ferment things with, like kefir sodas. Use it with juices. Beet kvasses. A kvass is a very Ukrainian Russian type drink made from bread. Very health giving. We can make it into beets. It's a very purifies the liver. Kombucha now is becoming very popular. It's one of the most sold health drinks in the United States at this moment. People say, Craig, why haven't you started your own business in southern Spain making kombucha? I'm like, well, I don't have anointing for business, you know. So, and so all these things that we can start doing to benefit. Why do I do these things? Because I love Jesus. What? Because my body needs these things. This was normal. Did Jesus drink kombucha? Well, John says there's things that are written about him that, you know, if we had everything about him, the books of the world couldn't contain it. But I believe all these things were normal in every culture. It's not normal to drink a Coke. That's not normal. We think it is, but it's not. They think, Craig, you're so weird drinking your kombucha tea. And hold on. This is normal. What you're doing is abnormal. It didn't exist for thousands of years. It just came about in the last 50 or 60. So we've lost this paradigm shift when you think, okay, Lord, I want to feed my body, make sure it stays healthy. Why? Because I love you, God. I love my body functioning properly, and it glorifies him. Okay? And finally, these last two things we're going to talk about here, superfoods, include those in your diet if possible. Okay, what is a superfood? Okay? It's a food source that's concentrated nutrition. Okay? Like liver, for example, is considered a superfood. It's a very small amount of liver, has lots of nutrients. And we talked about this whole day that basically when I give our body what it needs, like nutrients, it heals itself. And so this is what we want to do. Now, Hippocrates also said something he's called the father of modern medicine. He said something very important. I can't remember right now. He said the body heals itself. Do to buy no harm is one thing he said too. The body can heal itself. You know, the physician is only nature's assistant. And he also said this, let food be your medicine and medicine be your food. So we need to look at getting our sources of nutrients from a food base, okay? When my wife was pregnant, as a good American, we went to the gynecologist in Spain, and we're talking about all different type of things. She's doing healthy, great. And my wife says, are you going to give me a prenatal vitamin? And the gynecologist laughed at us. And I was like, come on, why are you laughing at us? She says, you Americans and your pills. I said, you guys take pills because you don't know how to eat right. Eat your salad, he told my wife. And I walked away going, oh, I'm so offended, because we're used to pills. You know, pill for everything. But food should be our source of nutrition. God designed my body to get everything we need from what we have around us. Now, it is true. Remember what's the name of Price? He saw cultures go all the way down to get fish eggs and dry them. Why? They're special sources of nutrition for pregnant women and growing kids. So there's certain type of things they did. So a superfood, as composed to a vitamin or supplement, are foods that naturally concentrate important nutrients. Unlike dietary supplements or vitamins taken in isolation, superfoods provide many nutrients that support each other and prevent the kind of imbalances that often occur when vitamins are taken singularly. Now, this is key. You go down to the store today, you've got dozens and hundreds of types of vitamins, okay? And you have your vitamin A and your vitamin B12 and your vitamin C. And okay, in nature, you don't find that by itself, never. They're always with everything else. And this is the problem that pharmaceuticals medicine has gotten into. They've isolated certain parts of a plant and said, we'll use this in its isolated form and in a very high level form. And this is why we have so many problems with addictions and side effects. But in its natural form, the body recognizes no problem. And so we recommend foods that we can take. I take bee pollen, for example. I'm sorry, I didn't bring any forward. We can pass it around. But bee pollen is just that little, those little things that on the back of the bee's legs, they carry around with them, little balls. And so you can take that. I've had people who have had allergies for all their life taking medication with allergies and taking bee pollen from the local area, no more medicine. Okay, it's complex, has lots of amino acids, it's very lots of enzymes. And what I do, I start off smallly. I need to warn you, take off a little bit at a time. We were at a YRAM base, and I was passing by my bee pollen, and this lady came up to me afterwards and says, is my tongue supposed to swell up like this? And I was like, oh, no. Her tongue had swollen up. And I was like, oh, no. She's going to sue me. But it's a natural detoxifier. So start small, and I'll take 1, 2, 3 tablespoons a day because it's energy, okay? So it's concentrated nutrition, okay? Local honey, raw honey, throughout history, you know, bees are around all around the world. So God did that for a purpose, okay? There's Chinese bees, and there's Korean bees, and there's North American bees, and there's a Spanish bee, okay? Bees that produce honey for the area. And so this is why our natural sweetener. So try the bees, try the bee honeys. There's all kinds of things we can use for them as well. What's that? The colony collapse disorder. Why are bees vanishing? That's, okay, yeah. Oh, Jesus, give us wisdom. And, yeah, we're killing our world here. So, yeah, bees are dying. In fact, this last spring, now, most almonds come from where? California. I just thought, well, great, California, great mountains. There must be lots of great places for almond trees to grow, but they monocrop them. They have these massive farms where all you have are thousands of almond trees, nothing else. Now, think of the poor bee who, well, the almond tree blooms once a year, and so for the rest of the year, what does he live off of? Nothing. There's nothing there for them to eat, so the bee disappears. So they have to truck in bees. So, but anytime bee products are used, they're very health-giving, so try raw honeys. Royal jelly, it's very expensive, but for me, bee pollen is great. Another superfood would be algaes, the whole area of the green algaes, okay, spirulina, chlorella. There are some excellent studies of people taking algae as a source of detoxification and getting healed. So seaweeds, very nutrient-dense form, a concentrated form of food. I see my Asian ladies again shaking their head. Yes, we eat seaweed, okay? We think in the West, ooh, seaweed. I put seaweed into our beans or my bone broths, okay? Before I take it out, I put my seaweed in. I want all those nutrients. Cod liver oil, again, it's used historically. It's a superfood. Bitters, I take what I call Swedish bitters. It's like 10 different plants, and I make it myself. And all the bitter plants, we even see those in Scripture, the bitter herbs, they're health-giving. My son and daughter always says when they take some natural medicine, they're like, oh, this tastes so bad. Why did God make these plants taste so bad? I say, well, guys, if all these plants tasted really good, all you kids would be running around the countryside eating them all, and they would never grow. So God had to make them sort of like yucky to make it medicinal. And so that's a good way of understanding most plants that they're sweet, that we eat our lettuce, and we eat the, you know, chards and stuff, but the bitter plants are actually very medicinal. And so you think bitters, for example. Colostrum, the milk from the first milk from a mama's breast, from a cow, very high. Kelp, noni juice, wheat germ oil, okay, probiotics. All these things we recommend for superfoods in your diet, just to try to get that to stay healthy. And every culture, I think, has their own little local thing they can use. Yeast extract, nutritional yeast, for example, okay? Does that make sense? So try to get your nutrition from foods. I take it from plants. I take plants sometimes. I've realized my lungs are in the weak area now, and so I take certain type of plants that are good for strengthening lungs. Okay, so I take my little powder, and I have my little capsule machine. So I pound my little powder when I'm watching my football game, so I'm not wasting my time. I'm sitting there going, yay! Pounding my little my capsules together, okay? Okay, so improving your diet. And finally, we need to exercise, okay? Now, we're told today, eat less, exercise more. Okay, that's actually not true, okay? Food is the most important issue. This is why we deal with food the whole time, okay? Most people today say you just need to get off your butt and run 30 kilometers a day. I mean, you're just lazy. But I've realized food is the most important aspect. We can be healthy with food, but culture's always moved. And because of our sedentary lifestyle, we sit around, listen to people like me talk all day long, or we have Facebook, we sit around and just don't do anything. So we need to move. And there's almost nothing negative about exercise. List positive, 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 positive. It takes time. We have to include it into your schedule. Now, I am pretty undisciplined, so I actually pay to go to a gym. Now, gymnasiums didn't exist for thousands of years, okay? The Greeks had things, you know, but I have to pay someone my hard YOM support money to go someplace where I can do nothing else but exercise. Because if I did it at home, I wouldn't do it, okay? So whatever it takes, we recommend that you don't have to typically do with this high, long aerobic type of things. Peak 8, Google Peak 8. It's a good way, just intensive training. You know, do something very short burst of time, rest, short burst of time, rest, and in 20 minutes you can be all done, okay? It's very important, but we do need to move, and I like this little cartoon here. It says, what fits your busy schedule better, exercising 1 hour a day or being dead 24 hours a day? Okay, so we do need to say this is important. I had to put into my schedule, my little agenda, I write it out, Craig, at the gym, and people say, Craig, change it. No, this is important. This is part of my lifestyle, okay? And I'll tell people, Craig, where are you going now? I'm going to worship Jesus. Oh, it's Wednesday afternoon. You going to church? No, I'm going to the gym. What? Yes, it's honoring my creator as I take care of my temple. And so we need to get back this mentality of this worldly. In fact, when our YRM group bought a gymnasium, we worked it for 4 years, guess who thought we were wacko? The non-Christians? The Christians! Ooh, what are you doing? Why you do that? Well, that's body worship. And why are you wasting your time? Okay, no, exercise is God-given, glorifying to him. And I exercise because I love Jesus. And it's a stress relief. I mean, it helps me in every aspect of my life, okay? My wife will tell me, honey, you're being a jerk, go to the gym. Okay, so what do you do? How exercise you like to do like that fits your walking is good exercise. I just do it regularly. Biking, swimming, get outside, get out in front of the, you know, turn off the TV, you know, turn off your computer, get outside. We have the same 24 hours a day. No, I get told this a lot. Craig, I don't have time to exercise. I don't have time to cook right. Okay, and my question to them is, how many hours in the day do you have? And they say 24. And I go, are you serious? You have 24? No way! I do too! Imagine that. It's how we spend our 24 hours. I have to say no to this and yes to this. It's time management. So this idea, I have no time for exercise, I'm sorry, it's an excuse. You know, I don't want to exercise, and I don't make the time for take care of my temple, and no, this is not important, so I will not do it. Okay. So let's take the stairs instead of taking the escalators at times. Okay. And finally, as we close here, historical experts say this, our greatest weakness lies in giving up. The most certain, here the projector goes off again, push any key. Okay. Our greatest weakness lies in giving up. The most certain way to succeed is always to try one more time. Okay, don't give up. You know, we've given up, I can't do it, I want to do it again. And the Surgeon General from the United States says, you, the individual, can do more for your health and well-being than any doctor, any hospital, any drug, any exotic medical device. And so we need to realize that we have the capability of being healthy. We just have to change our mentality. And that food is a God-given thing. It's a gift that our loving creator gave for us to enjoy. But we need to go back to say, God, what have you given us to eat? And we need to learn to eat to live, not live to eat, as many of us are doing today. Let's not forget, as YWAM, our motto is to know God and make Him known, and it's make Him known in this area of health. You know, we haven't brought that before in our lives. And you know, we have a higher calling as believers, and one that calls us to be a good steward of our bodies so we can go and tell others of their wonderful God. So let's glorify God in our bodies by taking care of it, by nourishing it with God-given foods, by keeping it healthy, because we represent our God to the world. And I know the Bible says they'll know we are Christians by our love, but I haven't had too many people come and say, oh, I just see Jesus all over you and the love, and God, I repent, you know. Let's face it, the first thing the world sees is me, my physical body, whether I talk to them or not, okay? They see, how do I take care of my body? Remember, we are not our own. We've been bought with a price, and therefore glorify God with your body. And the price He paid for us was a very high price. He gave His own life for us. So let's not underestimate this whole area of nutrition as it glorifies our Creator. Amen? So I close with that, and Father, we just want to thank you. Let's all stand. Let's all stand since it's 5 o'clock and we've been sitting a long time. And I know we want to be honored at 5 o'clock time here. I'm sorry, it's 5:03 for Swiss, that's sin. So, but since I'm from Spain, you can sort of forgive me. I'll pray here. Those who want to sit around and talk and ask a lot of questions, I know a lot of questions probably came up. A lot of things are like, hold on. Don't forget to give, if you want your material, take some material with you. And we just want to thank you guys for coming. Thank you for Sindre. For organizing this, and I believe let's do this more. Let's get God into this whole picture, okay? So, Father, we love you. We honor you. We say thank you that you're a good God. And, Father, everything we've talked about today, we just commit it at your feet. We lay it down at the cross of Jesus and say, be Lord of this. And, Father, our desire is that you be glorified in this whole area of health. Father, revive the body of Christ in this area of health. Father, bring us back to biblical thinking in the area of food. And, Father, revive those who have a heart for herbs and natural medicine, Father, and farming. And Father, we could draw in nice, nutritious food for your glory. Father, raise that up within YWAM so we can see this established among the whole earth, Father, so your name would be glorified, that Jesus would be lifted high. And we give you honor and praise. Amen. Okay, Sindre, anything else you want to tell everybody, or they're fine from there?